We're going to the book of Exodus. Thank you to Sister Christiana. Thank you to Christian for helping us with music today, doing such a fine job. How many enjoyed the Spirit of God that we felt during worship service today? Amen. Exodus chapter number 2, starting at verse number 1. I apologize, I did not give him those corresponding scriptures. He's with me, though. He is on it today. All right. Exodus chapter number 2, verse number 1. We're going to read just a few scriptures through verse number 4. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river brink. Now think about this. This is a mama. This is a mama taking that little baby. Almost all the other children have been killed. And she takes hers. She packages him up. Builds a little ark. Puts the pitch and the slime on it. Takes him down to the bulrushes, the Bible says. And when she could no longer hide him, she took him with the ark and the bulrushes and daubed with slime and with pitch. Put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. I want to preach to you just for a little while on a concept today. I'm going to be expositionally preaching, if you will, today. I want to preach just for a little while on this topic. A king without a throne. A king without a throne. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we love you, and I ask you, God, to reach down into our minds and our hearts and our spirits here today, God. We may not be real large in number today, God, but you are here, and you knew who was going to be here today, and I'm asking you to minister to every single person at some point in this message. Take something that will challenge them and stretch them and pull them and provoke them to be closer to you than they've ever been before. Help me to do a good job for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to have, I failed to recognize Sister Cooper's guest with her. I have completely just drawn a blank on your name, sis. I apologize. Somebody help me out. Help me out. Haley? Haley, good to have you with us. My bad. I should have remembered it. But good to have Haley with us. But there hidden amongst the bulrushes was a little child, a scared mother, no doubt a family that probably all knew what was going on, probably had all been a part in trying to hide this little boy. Knowing that his life was weighing in the balances and not knowing what was going to happen, I can't imagine what the heart of that mother must have been going through. Moses was in a situation of being a Hebrew, and before long he was going to find himself in an Egyptian world. I don't know if you really can imagine what it must have been. I don't think Moses probably even knew what all was going on at this stage of his life. He was but a little infant baby. But can you imagine being pushed out into the bulrushes? I don't know if the little basket was floating or if it was just kind of stuffed down in the mud. If it were me, I'd probably halfway bury it just to make sure it stayed where I wanted it as a mother, and I'm a father, so I know my wife, and that's serious business when you mess with those little babies, you know. And most moms are that way. That little mom instinct comes out that nobody wants to cross, you know. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But this is the situation that Moses found himself in. And he found himself in starting off life with in a pretty tough spot. And if he thought it was going to end there, he was wrong, because now he is taken in, and now he becomes part of Pharaoh's house. He's a Hebrew boy, but he is learning the Egyptian way. He is trained, he is learning in a lot of things. He's kind of mixed, if you will, wondering which way to go. Yet he has some things down inside of him. He probably can look at himself and recognize, I don't look like everybody else. There's something that's different about me. But he grows up in the Egyptian world, and he grows into the places that needs to be, and he finds himself in a place as a young man that now he's a little older, and being trapped between two worlds, his heart is going out to one, and yet knows he's a part of another. I don't know about you, but oftentimes going through life, living for God, you feel like you're a pilgrim, as the Bible says, in a strange land sometimes. You wonder, you know, is it possible to really traverse this world and not be corrupted by the things of this world, to not let the mindset of so much of the stuff that is funneled into our minds through every type of avenue that there is, from commercials to billboards to music to every single thing. It's pushing, I don't want to be too deliberate here, but pushing an agenda at a different twist every single day. And it seems like in today's world, it's going at a breakneck speed. When I was a little boy, we're seeing things today that I never dreamed we would see. And in one generation, we have, it seems, leaped from God-fearing families that got up and went to church on Sunday to now very few do. And it's soccer practice, it's this, it's that, and everything but church on Sunday. I can remember when it was illegal to even hunt on Sunday in Indiana. We come a long way, haven't we? To where now we're in a generation today where you're almost the odd person if you do get up and go to church. This must have been how Moses felt during this time of his life. He now finds himself, and I have leaped into another section of his life here. He finds himself standing in the field, and he sees an Egyptian man striving with the Hebrew and abusing him. And finally, Moses, being torn between two, he pulls out his sword and he slays the Egyptian. And he recognizes, think about this, and now he recognizes, uh-oh, I messed up. This is not a good situation. I'm a part of Pharaoh's house. Even though this whole thing is going on, it probably was the right thing, but the wrong thing at the same time. So he takes the body and he removes it and tries to hide it and tries to pretend it doesn't exist. And here he was trying to help the Hebrew people, but then all of a sudden he comes in contact just a short time later with another Hebrew. And there's a little bit of an altercation going on between the Hebrews. And he steps in and tries to say, you know, what's going on here? Stop this. And immediately the Hebrew boy looks at him and says, what? You going to kill me like you did the Egyptian? I can imagine his heart must have sank. I'm exposed. Now there are people that know what I've done. They know I'm a murderer. Do they even know where I put the body at now? This is a serious, serious situation. Often we don't recognize the preparation we go through in the school of hard knocks is preparing us for the place that God has designed for us to go. Our struggles do determine our outcome, but they prepare us for determining our ability to produce our outcome. Our response to the workout will determine our stamina for the future. Now, I know that's saying a whole lot. That's pastor's lingo. Now I'll put it in simple terms. The fact is, we can't always account for every single thing we're going to have to go through. I've said this many times. Many of us take the scenic route in our walk with God. If we would just get up as a young child, as these young child's age, and have a prayer life and read our Bible every day and go to church and reverence God in everything we do and live life, you know what? Life would probably turn out a lot easier, wouldn't it? But I would venture to say probably 99.9% of us sitting here today, including myself, decided, maybe I know a little better about this. Maybe I know a little better about that. Maybe I'll try it this way. And if it don't work, maybe I'll go back to God. He'll fix it. And that's the way we all do. You know what? That's what makes us human. And that is exactly where Moses found himself. But sometimes I wonder, and sometimes, in fact, I know, if God doesn't know exactly those decisions we're making and sits back there and says, just watch. They're going to learn a big one from this, but they don't understand it. It's going to prepare them for later on in the future. I wonder if God must get amusement out of our quite entertaining things at times. Can't tell you that I told you just a while back about the one where I as a pastor blew it big time. Was working at the courthouse and there was a young couple sitting there, and I could tell he's sitting this way and she's sitting this way, and they're sitting outside the judge's chamber fixing to go in the courtroom, and you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out what's about to take place in the courtroom. Tears are streaming down her face. The pastor should have walked over and seen if he could help. But the fact of the matter is, there's probably a divorce in our county today because I didn't. The reality is, even as pastors, sometimes we don't get it right. I'm in work clothes. I'm dirty. I don't look like a preacher. I'm here working on a boiler. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes we've got to be willing to go above the norm, to go above what is just normally expected by everybody else. You know what? The fact of the matter is, it could have changed their destiny. And every single one of us sitting here today have stories like that. Every single one of us have examples of things that we've learned through the lives of hard knocks that, you know what? I'll bet you it'll never happen to me again. Because we learn from those things. And we recognize that little tugging of the Holy Ghost inside our lives that says, you know what, there's a need. And I put you there to respond to the need at that moment. But even more so than that, isn't it amazing how God prepares us through the school of hard knocks? I'll probably go through to my dying grave telling that story. And many other ministers, I hope, will learn from my as a pastor's mistake. And many of you have those stories that you will tell your kids of, wish I hadn't have. It could have been different. Don't do what dad did. Don't do what mom did. Don't make this mistake. Don't go down that road. And we all have those things that we're going to go through life and we're going to learn those things. But isn't it amazing, the handprint of God, even though we go through those things, the handprint of God never comes off of our life. That just amazes me. Here you have a man that was put in the bulrushes, raised in the Egyptian courts, done all the things that the Egyptian do, but yet he was prepared from the very beginning, handpicked, trained, and then goes out and kills somebody. Now he's exposed, and here's the big thing. And the people he's trying to protect don't even appreciate it. How many knows sometimes you can pour yourself into people that could care less? They have no... Here's the difference. When you have a calling on your life, and I'm going to go a little bit deeper, because every single one of you, God has called you for a specific purpose. I don't know what it is, but God does. We don't come to church just to sit on a pew and say, I'm a Christian. We come to church because God, we are the body of Christ. And the body of Christ didn't come to sit in a sofa. No pun intended. But the fact of the matter is, God came on purpose. And he came and he walked and he did everything he could to see people saved. And if we are the body of Christ, he comes at every different angle. Here's the difference. There are people you can minister to that I'll never touch. I'll never have a relationship with. I'll never know what their pains are. I'll never have a conversation with them. But you work at work with them every day. You go to school with them. You have contacts with many people. And you know what? My personality may rub them the wrong way. I hope not. I'm a pretty likable guy. But the fact is, some of us have different ministries. Some of us are going to sing. Some of us are going to greet. Some of us are going to preach. Some of us are going to do many different things. Some are going to help with books. Some are going to do cleaning. Some just every there's tons of things that we can do. Some are going to help with outreach. Some are going to be doing letters to people that need just a little pick me up. Just to let people know you love them. Some people are that affectionate person that walks around the church and just loves on everybody, tells them how good they look. Just that person that just brings that little home feel to the church. Everybody has their place in the body of Christ. And we are all called for a purpose. And it's not by accident. The difference is oftentimes that we will get out in front of that calling. How many knows if there's a difference between being called and being dispatched? If you know there's an accident and you jump in the car as a policeman or a fireman and you take off down the road before where you find out the address is, you very well might be going the wrong way. This could complicate the whole matter. But we as Christians, how often do we do that? We get ahead of the will of God and we know there's a calling on our life, so we are preparing ourselves and we're doing things, but sometimes we make bad choices. Does that mean God didn't call us? David was a man after God's own heart. He blew it. He was a murderer. Moses, a murderer. Most of us sitting here probably aren't murderers, I hope. You know what? That puts into perspective the things that we think are these big roadblocks to God using our lives. Sometimes we feel, I've made too big of a mess of it. God could never use me. God could never take my life and change me into something that actually would be a tool in the toolbox of God. Seriously? And God's standing back there saying, can you just not stop and look over your life and see how I am preparing you every single day? The difference is you have to be willing to go through some things because there's going to come a day. How many realize that after this happened to Moses, Moses took off and he fled and he went up into a dry place? And how many know sometimes when you make mistakes, it's going to take you to a dry place? He went from frills and whistles and bells chasing dirty sheep. How many has ever been around a shepherd? It's a whole nother world, if you will. We've got these pictures of the lambs that they're all white and fluffy and bah, they're just wandering down the little green pasture. But if you've ever gotten around sheep, they don't smell good. They're a lot of work. Sometimes they're accused of being a little bit naive. Let's just say that. Any resemblance to people? Isn't it a wonder that we're called the sheep of his pasture? You know what? Some of our lives, when you come to God, we don't smell the greatest when it comes to life. We got a lot of baggage. We got a lot of issues. We got a lot of frustrations. We got a lot of things. You know what? When we come to God, we come not offering much of anything because usually we're at the bottom of the barrel looking up just hoping we can see some sunshine. But that's where Moses found himself, at this place. But Moses is pretty good. He learns to navigate this new world. He's got a wife. He's got sheep. He's got it going on. And he's just kind of out of the way. Nobody knows who he is. He's in his little zone. He's figured out how to navigate this little world of being a sheep herder. And now he's got everything happening. He's going down through there. And all of a sudden, that same tugging of being Egyptian and Hebrew and struggling with this calling shows up again in the middle of the desert. He looks and there is a burning bush. But it wasn't the burning bush that amazed him. It was the fact that it wasn't consumed. It was the fact that it was still burning when it should have been gone. And yet there was still leaves. That's amazing, isn't it? There's still stuff there that should have long. So it gets his attention and he gets a little closer and Now all of a sudden there's a voice that speaks out and says, take off your shoes, Moses. You're on holy ground. He begins to give him instructions. You're going to go back to Egypt. Now this must have caught Moses quite by surprise. I'm going to go back down there. Those folks that were going to kill me, I'm going to go back down there. And the other people that rejected when I was trying to help them, I'm going to go back and help those people over my dead body. That's what we would have said. But notice what Moses says. He says, a little clarification, God. When I get there, who am I going to tell them sent me? He simply said, I am that I am. Moses, those are the answers that you're not going to know. Just know I am sufficient for every single thing. If you need me to be something, I'm that. If I need to be somewhere, I'm there. If I need to be anything in your world, their world, in between, I'm that. And I am the same God that was there when you didn't recognize me. And you think you're hiding from me in the desert. I've prepared you for 40 years on the backside of a hill for this moment, and you thought you didn't matter, and you thought I forgot about you, and you thought you escaped, and you thought you just kind of ran out of my radar. Pastor, come to tell everybody in this place, God ain't forgot your number. God knows where you're at. He knows what you're doing. He still has a plan of God on your life, and you know what? You won't outrun it. You won't outsmart it, and you better not try to outthink it, because it's a hard road when you try to do it your own. But somehow, if you just reach in to the plan of God and say, God, I don't know where I'm going, but I'll be patient and I'll work with you and I'll do what you called me to do. Isn't it amazing what the miracles God will do for our life? You see, there's a dangerous place, and that is being torn between two worlds. There's a dangerous place of, I've seen a lot of preachers that have been called to preach but didn't have the patience to wait for the full preparation. Then I've seen other preachers that were prepared as anybody, and out of reverence to their pastor, they would sit right there, and their pastor left them sit there and sit there and sit there and sit there. And most of them I've seen in that application ended up backsliding. How many knows a baby in the womb, if it's not delivered, not only will kill the baby, it will also kill the mother? Pastor, come to tell you here today, when you've got a calling of God on your life, you better find a way to stick to the will of God and trust God with every single thing in your life. Because if you don't, it's a tough road to hoe if you don't let it be delivered the way God wants it. There is nothing worse than looking back over a life of turmoil and mess and garbage and broken marriages and broken homes and broken families because I tried to do it my way. There is something that still, there's an old-fashioned book, and it's a little black book that we carry around, and we put it on our coffee tables and we put it in our cars, and many of us brought it to church and we put it even up on the screen today. But the difference is it's the most sold book but the least read. And the key examples of everything you need in life, and looking at the mistakes of those that tried to do it their own way, and you'll find the carnage and the heap piles of mess throughout the Old Testament and even in the New Testament. And if you think I'm telling you a story, go back and take a look at the story of Judas. He had everything the rest of the disciples had, but there came a point that the Bible says, I'm not even convinced that it was ordained that it had to be Judas, but there came a point that something snapped in Judas's mind. Something turned, and there can be a calling on your life as sure as you're sitting here, but there comes a point you've got to embrace that calling. You've got to hang on to the horns of the altar, as I preached last week, with everything you got, and say, God, I don't have anything to offer. And God's saying, I don't need you to offer anything, because I will prepare you for the mission But in order for that to happen, it's going to take submission. And that's the part we all heartthrob over, isn't it? It's that part that says, you mean this is going to cost me something? I've never seen anything that God used that wasn't poured out. I watched a grandfather that poured his life out, preaching. Never really had two pennies to rub together. Go in, take little churches, build them up, get those people to believe God could do anything, and really reach into their hearts, turn that thing around, and then go take another church and do it again. Go take another church and do it again. I've sat across from him, and probably one of the first places I ever preached was one of those little churches that he was pastoring. And I'd only preached maybe once or twice. And I was sitting there across from him, and he says, "Boy, I guess they know it now." I said, "Grandpa, what are you talking about?" "Well," he said, "son." He says, "I've been struggling with some people in here that, many of you have heard this message. They didn't believe in Christmas and a whole lot of other things." He says, "And they've been giving me a lot of trouble." He says, "I guess they ain't no question in their minds now, because I just got up and preached. 'Twas the night before Christmas." He said, "But you know what, son? God used you to fix something that I couldn't go in and take the bull by the horns and just fix it. But you walked in and been able to do something that I haven't been able to do for a long time." He had learned to trust the will of God. And you know what? He never had a lot. Grandma still doesn't. But you know what? They poured their lives out, drip by drip, to the cause of Christ. When I stood there that day and preached at that funeral and spoke at that funeral, I think my boy even spoke a few words at that funeral. I seen preachers, people in lives that they touched all through that whole church. It was just packed. And when he was on his dying bed, you know what? He didn't have one regret in the world. He didn't have to look back and say, "Well, I wish I'd have done this different. I wish I'd have done that different." You know, there's something about when you follow the will of God and you lay your body down someday and you got to look between you and the Maker, and there's nothing in between there but you and Him. You can have a peace. I understand it when Paul said, "I fought a good fight. I kept the faith." He said, "Paul, if you go back to Jerusalem, they're going to kill you if you go back there." "It's all right. I'm ready to go." To us, that seems crazy. But when you got somebody that didn't really matter about life, they followed the will of God. You see, the danger of a king without a throne is he's in a very dangerous position, because he's torn between two worlds. He's there. He knows his calling. He knows he's called to be a king. When David had the oil poured over his head, then he was sent back out to be a shepherd. The true mark of a great leader is, can he hold the calling without becoming bitter? True mark of a great leader is, can he submit himself to the process? That's the hard part. Because sometimes that process is pressure. Sometimes that process is pain. Sometimes that process is some really hard knocks in life to prepare us for that place that God now has gotten us for. And that's exactly where Moses found himself. And now he's heading back into Egypt. And I'm coming to a close. He's heading back into Egypt with the calling of all callings. He's about to bring the children of Israel from being slaves to promise. Many of you are sitting here today saying, what impact do I really have on people? Is anybody really going to be saved because of me? My question for you is, Moses could have thought the exact same thing. Good life, good wife, kids. Wasn't living in the castle, but sure wasn't doing too bad. We all go through life with day in and day out. And I wonder sometimes, are we really doing justice to our calling? Pastor's going to prod just a little bit now. Are we really living up to what God called us to do? Are we being poured out? Are we really giving everything inside of us? Or do we get up and go to church and say, I did my duty. Let's go back and live our revolving world. We'll come back to church next week. We'll make up with God. Go back to our revolving world. My question for us is, what about the calling on your life? Are you doing everything in your power to harness that potential to prepare you for the next stage so that you can pour yourself out? I know I've said it many times, but there's going to be a day some young man's going to come take this church. It'll be paid for. Be a good, solid bunch of people that is living for God, doing good. They'll never know what it was. To nail the nails and hang the sheetrock, pull them big, huge doors down. They'll have no clue. But you know what? That was my part. That doesn't mean we're bitter about something, that somebody gets some water, some plant. God gives the increase. I know I've said it, and it's kind of morbid. There'll be a day that that little boy, he's bigger than I am now. He'll pick up a casket and carry it, hopefully, to the front of this church. They'll close the lid. The only thing that'll give him and that beautiful wife right there, mine, peace, will be knowing that I poured myself out for the cause of Christ. When you're at that stage, nobody will say, how big a house did he have? Did he have antique cars? Did he have stocks and bonds? At that point, all that matters, did he make a mark for the cause of Christ? Let's all stand. Samuel was separated from his mom and dad. He was all alone. Dedicated to the work of God. But he heard the voice of God. David was back in the shepherd field. But he could still smell the oil. I guarantee you, as it poured off of his head that day. I don't know where this is going, but there's going to be a day. This anointing is going to take effect. question for you today in closing is, can you still smell the oil? Do you still feel the pitter-patter of your heart race when you think about that calling God has on your life? Or have you closed the casket and walked away and you're on the backside of the desert pretending it doesn't exist? Pastor came to tell you there's still a need and there's still a cause. And if you don't think it's big, Pastor come to tell you there's 13,000 people in this county alone that needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I can't do it by myself. So in closing here today, I want to challenge us. I wonder if we, I know sometimes we come kneel and pray, but I wonder if we could just gather around the front with families, just you and your families, either in the aisles or just around the front. We're just going to close in prayer together today. Is that okay? Just gather in around this front close, just with your families together. The easier here, we're a small church. For now, it ain't gonna stay this way. We're on a growing mode. Pastor didn't come here to beat us up today. Pastor simply came to tell us God has called you for such a time as this. I don't know all of your lives. I don't know your history. I don't know all your stories. But you do. Here today, I wonder if we could just rededicate our lives to the cause of Christ. Maybe we've just kind of got our own agenda going. We've just kind of got our own world going. And sometimes we need to stop and just bring it all into perspective. And look back to see how far we really have gotten off track. So I wonder here today if we could bow our heads and maybe just spend some time in prayer here in closing. God, I'm asking you right now. I've preached with everything I've got. I've preached into their lives something that I hope will stretch them. I hope will challenge them. I hope that we'll let them know that doesn't matter how far they go. Doesn't matter what destination or route they've taken. Your handprint is still clearly there upon their life. Just because we are walking outside of your will doesn't mean we're still not your child. Still doesn't mean that you don't know who we are and what we've came for. And you haven't put a calling upon our life. And God, I'm asking you right now for everyone that's here. Man, woman, and child. I'm asking you, God, to help them to rededicate, rechallenge, stretch themselves a little deeper, love you a little more, listen closely for your direction and your calling in their life. I don't know at what point, God, you're going to use them, but you do. Some of them may be missionaries. Some of them may be called to all different types of ministries, God. I don't know what they are, God, but I pray you'll give me wisdom as a pastor not to harness those things, but to help those things to be released in their due season. Don't let me miss their moments. Don't let me miss those things that you've put upon their lives, God. Give me wisdom. But help them to trust that process at the same time. When they have questions, let them know that you're still there. When they have those misunderstandings that says, God's moved on from me. He can't use me anymore. I'm asking you, God, to just gently pull on their heartstrings and let them know I've got mercy. I've got grace. You just got to trust me. You just got to follow me. Give them the wisdom, God, to sink back into your arms, get wrapped up in your love one more time, God. Let them know how much you love them one more time in this place today. Let them know, God, that they're not off the radar, but they're right in the palm of your hand if they'll just trust you. If they don't know what it is to live for you, God, be baptized in Jesus' name. If they don't know what it is, God, to have that relationship with you, I pray, God, that you will begin to open their eyes and their mind to a deeper relationship and a deeper walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. This is a little different altar call, but I just felt it would be good for us to gather as families today. It's a smaller crowd, a little more intimate crowd, so it allows us to be able to do things a little different. How many of you want to be right in the palm of God's hand for your life? Right in the center of God's will.